It's always wonderful to have our youth who are away at college come back, isn't it, and worship with us. Thank you, April and Katie and Philip. May the emblems you see and that you will partake of today remind you of the grace and peace that only God can give you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together and this special event when we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you for sending him that we might have life and to have it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. What does this symbol mean to you? What are you thinking about when you sit there and you've just received it, or you just picked it up, as you will this morning, and you're waiting to eat it? What are you thinking about when you eat it? I think most of us are thinking about what Jesus went through, his physical agony. This bread serves as a reminder of the thorns that punctured his brow. But it means more than that. This bread is a reminder of the beaten and bruised body, the whipped and torn flesh. But it means more than that. This bread reminds us of the nail-pierced hands and feet. But it means more than that. It reminds us of the sun-scorched flesh as he hung there, probably naked, but it means more than that. This bread reminds us of the sword that penetrated the side of his body and allowed the fluid to flow from his broken heart, but once again, it means more than that. Jesus himself said it means more than that. In John chapter 6. Before going to that passage briefly, I just want to just share some things that help you understand the passage. And we won't have time to go into the entire chapter, so you might want to take your Bible out this afternoon and read John 6 in light of some of the things you will hear. The rabbis taught two things about the Messiah. They taught a number of things, but two things in particular that relate to John chapter 6. And unless you know these two things, John chapter 6 won't make as much sense. It won't have as much meaning. Number one, when the Messiah would come, they would provide manna, and therefore all Israel would once again be fed. Number two, and listen carefully. The rabbis had a saying that the eating of bread had a spiritual significance, and the spiritual significance of the eating of bread was the study of the law and the practice of good works. The Jews also had a saying. When it was an idiomatic expression, you know, if I tell you to go fly a kite, you don't do that, you know I mean something different. The expression was this: when a person worked to exhaustion, they would eat their flesh and drink their blood. Keep that in mind. When a Jew worked to exhaustion, they would eat their flesh and drink their blood. The Jews also had a belief that to eat and drink together among the Jews was an expression of sharing or partaking of the privileges of friendship. And so as you think about the invitation to eat the bread of life, remember it's an invitation to friendship. The background of John 6 is the fact that at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus has fed the 5,000 plus men, plus women and children. And at the end of feeding them, they got so excited because they said, maybe this is the manna, maybe this is the Messiah, because if he can feed this many with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, there's no siege that Rome can throw against us. We've got it made. And they come to take him by force to make him the Messiah, to make him king, so that he could take them and they could have victory over the Romans, and Jesus simply disappears. He sends the disciples off in a boat, and he disappears. And now they're confused and upset. They're not sure what's going on, and why would Jesus leave at this point? The next day they go to Capernaum, and they're surprised to find Jesus there, and as they're talking, perhaps the disciples, they find out that he has walked on water. Now think about it for a second. Moses had fed the children of Israel with manna in the wilderness after they had gone through the Red Sea. Jesus now feeds them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then he walks on water across a sea. Certainly he had to be the Messiah. And yet he was not willing to step up and to take charge, and they're confused. And so they ask Jesus the question, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" But Jesus hears the question behind the question. And so he responds in chapter 6, verse 27, page 891 in your pew Bibles. And he says in verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, and I want you to notice the question. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Remember what I said the rabbis taught? Rabbis taught that when you ate bread, it was the study of the law and doing good works. And Jesus said, "You are laboring for food that perishes, but not for the food that endures, which the Son of Man will give you." And they asked the question, "What must we do to do the works of God?" And I want you to notice what Jesus' reply is. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." They ask, "What do we do to eat this bread you're talking about? We'll study harder, we'll do more." And Jesus says, "No, believe in the one he has sent." They're perplexed by this, and they said, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work are you going to perform if you're saying that we have to believe in you and what you do? What work are you going to do to help us really know that you are the Messiah?" They said, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, Moses didn't do that. God did it. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." They were catching on somewhat. And then Jesus said plainly in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." That's not the only time he says that as he's dialoguing with them. He says it again in verses 33 to 34. "I am the bread of life." He says it also in verses 48. "I am the bread of life." In verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give you for the life of the world is my flesh." He says it again in verse 53, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Remember the phrase, "He who works to exhaustion eats his own flesh and drinks his blood. Jesus is telling them, you've asked what work you must do. You must believe on me and the work I do. And the work I do to save the world, I will exhaust every effort to do that. And you must eat my flesh and drink my blood and enter into my work, what I have done. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, what he is saying, I am the one that saves you, I'm the one that sustains you, and I am the one that preserves you and gives you life. The manna you got from Moses in the wilderness was only temporary. It filled your physical needs. That which I give will fill your spiritual needs. It will give you eternal life. The bread represents his body, and it reminds us, this bread reminds us that through the incarnation, God taking on flesh, we have the possibility of reconciliation with God. This bread reminds us that through the life of Jesus, his perfect life, God fulfilled all righteousness, and he can give us his righteousness as he transforms us. This bread reminds us of the ministry of compassion that Jesus performed on this earth so that he might reveal the character of God to us. This bread reminds us of the sacrificial death of Jesus in order that we might be forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. This bread reminds us that through his body, Jesus was raised from the dead so that we might experience the power of God in victory over sin and death, and that we have a new body that will await us someday. In short, this bread is not just about the fact that Jesus died for us. It's about the fact that he lived for us and that everything he accomplished in his life applies to our lives. That is why Jesus said in verse 53, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood, you will not have any life in you. There's a statement that Ellen White makes on this passage in Desire of Ages, page 389. I think it's supposed to be 789, but it's 389, that's correct. 389. To eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ is to receive him as a personal Savior, believing that he forgives our sins and that we are complete in him. It is by beholding his love, by dwelling upon it, by drinking it in, that we are to become partakers of his nature. What food is to the body, Christ must be to the soul. Food cannot benefit us unless we eat it, unless it becomes a part of our being. So Christ is of no value to us if we do not know him as a personal Savior. A theoretical knowledge will do us no good. We must feed upon him, receive him into the heart, so that his life becomes our life. His love, his grace must be assimilated in our lives. This morning we're going to take part in communion. There is a foot washing service, the Ordinance of Humility, that will be taking place in the fellowship hall. If you choose not to go, there will be some music played here. Don't go because of time. Don't think you're not good enough. Stay. Spend some time thinking about this bread, this body that was given for you and for me. Spend some time reflecting on the life he offers. A life that supersedes this life, a life that goes beyond this life to life eternal. Spend some time together recognizing that just as the Jews believed of old, that in partaking of food together, that it says that we are friends and fellowship one with each other. This time we will be dismissed. We will come back for the Lord's Supper in a few minutes. And just enjoy this time with God, with each other, recognizing the awesome thing he has done and when he told us, this is my body, this is for you. come to the Lord's table and be refreshed.